Is daf tzadi dalad. We got to the bottom of tzadi gimel amud beis. The last eight lines, the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who be Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael, kulu all these tanaim, kulu svirle, who all of them hold, shinoi bimkomo omen. That if there's a shinoi that happens, we don't really acknowledge it, we disregard the shinoi, and it's viewed as being unchanged, even though it actually did change. So what are each of these opinions? So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Hadamrin, we saw his opinion yesterday that even though there was a change, even though there was a libun in the dying of the Temer, we didn't acknowledge it as a change, and it can still be mitstarif with Reish Shagez. What about Beis Shammai? Who is Beis Shammai? What does he say? Mahi. The Tani, the Baraisa says, Nosan lachitin besnana. So the person pays in a zona using a chita, using wheat, as the form of payment to the zona. Vasan solas, and she makes it into solas, some type of flour, or he gives her zesim as a form of payment. Vasan shemen, and she turns it into oil, or anavim, vasan yain, and grapes, and she turns it into wine. So the halacha is that these items, things that are used to pay for esen zona, is going to be aser for karbanos. But these few items underwent a change. So since it's a shino, maybe now it is permitted to be used as a karban. So Gemara says tani chada aser, tani idach mater. So one opinion thinks it's still aser, even though it went through a change, it went from grapes to grape juice, and it went from olives to olive oil, still it's considered aser. And the other opinion thinks it's mutter. Once it went through a shinoi, it's now mutter. And on this machlokus in the Brayos is Amar of Yosef Tana, Gurion Dimasporek, which he comes from a place, Rashi says on the top here, it's the name of a place. He explained that Beis Shammai Osrin, Beis Hillel Matir, Beis Shammai is the opinion that says it's still Asr. Even though it went through a Shinoi, it still is Asr. The Isser of Essen still applies. So we see that he holds, even though there's a Shinoi, Shinoi bim komo amedis. We view it as being unchanged. My time at the Beis Shammai. What was the reason Beis Shammai thought that even though it went through the Shinoi, it's still going to be Asr for a carbon? Amarkab, because the Pasuk says when describing the Isser of Essen, it says Gam Shnehem. Lerabos shinuyehem, to include even those things that undergo changes, shnehem shinuyehem, even those will be aser. So we see that Beis Shammai holds shinoi bimkomo omedos. What's the reason for Beis Hillel who permits an esnan after shinoi? Beis Hillel amar kra heim velo shinuyehem. No, heim, them, only them in their original state are going to be aser, but in the shinuyim, if they change, it won't be aser anymore. Beis Shammai haksiv heim. So what did Beis Shammai do with the word haim? Haim means them, not to exclude everything else. What does he use the word haim to teach? So hahu mibaylites needed to teach us haim v'lo v'ladoseim. Only the animals themselves that were used, but any of the offspring would not be considered an iser of esen. Beis Hillel, has he learned v'ladoseim are not included in the iser? So tarti shmasmina, he learns two things from the word haim. Haim v'lo shinoyehem. Haim v'lo v'ladoseim. Only the animals themselves is not the changes. Only the animals themselves and not any offspring. But then the Gemara says, Beis Hillel nami haksiv gam. What does he do with the word gam? Gam comes to include. And also, what's being included? He's only excluding things. What's being included? And the Gemara says, gam l'beis Hillel kasher inachanami. Beis Hillel, we don't know what he's going to do with the word gam. It ends up in a kasha. But either way, what we see from this price is that Beis Shammai holds that even though there's a shinoi bimkoma amedis, we still view it as being unchanged, and the animals and the fruit will all be considered an essen and still going to be aser. Now the next opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Mahi, what's his opinion? That he also holds that shinoi bimkoma amedis. The Sani, the price tells us that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Harei shegazal se'a shelchitin. A person steals an amount of wheat, and tachna, he grinds the wheat, Lasha, he kneads the wheat, Vafa, and he bakes it. And then he's hifrish mimena challah. Afterwards, he makes the dough, he separates the challah like you're supposed to. So, Keitim Mevarach, how does a person say a bracha? He stole the food, he stole the wheat, he stole the... So how do you say a bracha of challah on something that you stole? Ein ze Mevarach el menayit. That's not called making a bracha, that's called menayit. The Pasuk refers to it as menayit, as it says, Alzeh ne'mar, botzea barach enu tashem. How do they define the word menayit here? Blasphemy. Okay. That's not called the saying of bracha. That's considered blasphemy. So we see here that even though it underwent the change, he stole wheat. Now it's bread. It went through so many stages of shinuyim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't really care because he holds shinuy bimkoma emedes. We don't acknowledge a change, and that stigma of the gzela will still remain. And next opinion is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Mahi. Who is he? The son of the Baisa says, Klal Zamar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he holds Kol Shvach Shishbiach Gazlan Yad Ahayona, any enhancement that the Gazlan makes, that it's Yad Ahayona, he has the upper hand. What does that mean? Ratza Notel Shvacho, Ratza Omer Lo Harashal Chalfanecha. He could do one of two things. He could either say, I want to keep the Shvach, I want to keep the enhancement. So let's say he stole something worth $50, now it's worth $200. He says, I'd rather keep the enhancement, I'm going to return you money worth of $50, and he keeps the item. Or he could say, you know what, here's the object, I'll give you the entire object. He chooses. He has the upper hand. My kamar, what exactly does that mean? What's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar telling us? So Amar Rav Sheshesh, Rav Sheshesh says, Hachi kamar, Hishbicha no tel shvacho, if he enhances it, so he's able to keep the shevach, he keeps the enhancements. Kichesh, if it weakens, Omer lo harei shel chalfanecha, here's the item. I don't want that. I stole a very fat cow, and now it's very weak. You take the cow. So we see the shinui b'mkom ha'omer. Even though I only went to shinui, even though I stole a fat cow, and now it's a very skinny cow, and that's a shinui, we don't care. I could return the item back to you. Shinui b'mkom ha'omer. This, we don't acknowledge a change, and it's still considered in the initial form. Ihachi, that's the case. So if we don't acknowledge a shinoi is happening, so it's always wherever the object is, so then the nigzal keeps it, right? Wherever the nigzal really owns it, no matter what kind of change it went through, so then the question becomes, zihachi afil hishbiach nami. So if I, as the gazan, made it better and enhanced the cow and the item, so I should have to return that back to the nigzal as well. I shouldn't have to keep it, because if we're saying the shinoi is not being acknowledged, whether I weaken the cow or strengthen the cow, it should always go back to the owner. So why do I get to keep it if it was a shpiach, if I enhanced it? So he explains, Amri mipnei tekanas hashavim. See, we saw this klal many times already. Tekanas hashavim is, we want to help people do tshuva. So a person steals something and he enhances it, so then he's going to be reluctant to do tshuva and return the item because he put so much effort into it. So because of, we want to help people do tshuva, tekanas hashavim, we say, okay, fine, we'll let you keep the, even though you shouldn't, we'll let you keep the animal and just pay back the initial amount. But mikar din, really yod shinoi bimkomo omed, it stands in the initial form, and you really, mikar din, would have to return the cow. Next one is Rabbi Yishmol Mahi. What does he hold? The Sani, the Brisa says, mitzvahs peya lahafrish min hakama. The mitzvah peya, to leave over a corner of the field, you're supposed to leave it over while it's still in the stalks. You cut off all your wheat, and then one corner you leave aside as peya. Lo hifrish min hakama, let's say you didn't, and you cut down all the stalks of wheat in your yard, and you forgot to leave out peya, so then you're mafrish min ha'omdim. So then you're able to leave over what you've cut off. Lo hifrish min ha'omrim, if you don't keep over from the omrim all the bundles that you made, then mafrish min ha'kri. So then after you made piles of everything, so then you could take from the kri, you could take it from that pile and separate at that stage as well. Ad shelo marchu. So then you could put in the pile so long as you didn't do mirchu. Mirchu means when you take the pile and you smooth it out, now it's like the final process. But mirchu, if you've already smoothed the top of the pile of bundles, maser v'nosin lo. So then you have to take maaser at that stage. And then after taking maaser, so then you give peah after taking maaser. So then it says, Mishum Rabbi Yishmol Amru, and that's the opinion that we need here. Af mafresh min isa v'nosin lo. He thinks not only after you've made that pile and heap, smoothed it out, even if you take the wheat and you ground it, kneaded it, and made it into dough, even then you could take off some of that, a chunk of that dough, and leave it over as peah. So we see from here that b'shinu b'mkoma omed, even though it underwent this, all these changes, it's still considered the initial chiv of peah, and that's the last opinion of Rabbi Yishma. So Gemara now says, Amalei Rapapa, Rapapa asks, Labai ichpal kohani tanai lashminin kibei shamai. All these other tanayim, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel, all of them went so far out of their way to create these situations because they hold like Beis Shammai. Doesn't everybody hold like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara explains, Amar Lei Hachi Kamar. This is what they're saying. Lo nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. What they're saying is, each of these tanayim is that there's no machlokas at all, actually. There's no machlokas. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar all hold that even Beis Hillel agrees to this idea. They don't hold like Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel himself agrees to Beis Shammai that Shinim bin Koma Omed. So Rava says, Mimai, how do you know? Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda hasam el betzeva. Maybe Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda only says what he says. He spoke about the case of if they stole something and you enhanced the I stole a garment from you and I made it a nice color, I enhanced it. So maybe only there by tseva, hove yachol lahaviro ayidei tzfon. Maybe only there, he says, you're allowed to, since you can undo it. Since you can remove the dye, it's not called a shinoi. It can be chozer lebriyasin, can go back to the initial form. That's why he says that the gazan has to return it. And also, v'ad kan lo kamer beishamei hazan, maybe beishamei says only there, by the esnan, el legavoa, mishum v'imais. Maybe only by gavoa, only by karbanos, since the mizbech is so sensitive. So even though there's a shinoi, the mizbech sees beyond that, that since it initially came from an esnan zona, it's aser even after shinoi. But maybe that's only unique to karbanos, and it's not a general statement. And furthermore, ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hasam, he only says there by the case when you stole the bread, the wheat, and you made it into dough and bread, you can't say bracha even though it went through a shinoi. Maybe only by the bracha, he says it's aser, even though there's a shinoi. El linyan bracha bishum de havelei mitzvah ba be'avera. Because you came about the bracha of challah through an avera. So mitzvah ba be'avera, we're very sensitive, we don't allow you to say such a bracha. But in general, maybe he holds that a shinoi does. We do acknowledge a shinoi. And further, v'ad kan lo kamer bishum ben lazar hasam el be'achashu de hadar. Maybe only when the cow got weak, because it could always get better and get stronger. It's not viewed as such a shinoi if it gets weaker. And ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Shmuel hasam el in peya. Maybe only Rabbi Shmuel allows you to take peya from the dough when you made the wheat into the dough only by peya, because mishum dechsiv tazov yaseir. There's an extra product tazov. You should leave over peya, and it says tazov twice. So even leave it over when it's in the state of a dough. But had not been for that pasuk, then we would say not to leave over peya from the dough. So all these cases, all these different applications, there's a reason to think that's very unique. It's not a general statement that all shinois are not considered shinoi. That shinois b'mkomo omedes. Maybe it's only dafka in the case of brachan chala, or taking peya, or dyeing the food, and all these different things. It's not a general statement. So the Gemara says, maybe we should use a pasuk of peya, since it says the extra word tazov. We should even leave over the peya, even after it's been through a change. Maybe learn elsewhere as well, that whenever there's a change, we don't acknowledge a change. Maybe this should be the source for the pasuk tazov. Gemara says, can't be. We can't use peya and the word tazov as a source if all shinuim are not shinuis, because matnos aniyim shiny. Giving of gifts to aniyim are very different. You can't use it as a model. Why? Because it says, kidabai Rabbi Yonasan, and Rabbi Yonasan asks the question, kidabai Rabbi Yonasan, my time at Rabbi Shmuel, why did Rabbi Shmuel say what he said, that you could take peya even after it's in the form of being a dough? Mishum de kasavar shinoi eino kona. Is it because he holds that shinoi is not kona, and it's a generic statement? Odilma ba'alma kasavar shinoi kona. Or maybe he held in general shinoi is kona, and we do acknowledge change. V'hacha mishum dechsev tazov yaseir. And here there's an extra pasuk, exeres akasav tazov, you could even leave peya even after the shinoi. And v'im tim talomar, Rabbi Yonasan continues to say, and if you want to say, Taima de Rabbi Yishmael Mishum de Kasavar Shinui Eino Kona, if it's because he holds in general that a Shinui is not a change. So Tazov Yisera de Kasar Rachman Olamali. So why would the Pasuk have to say an extra word Tazov? There's no need for it. So from the very fact that the Pasuk has Tazov tells us that only by Peya, the word Tazov tells me that we don't acknowledge a Shinui only by Peya. But in general, we do acknowledge a change. And Vesu, moreover, the Rabbanan Tazov Yisera Dechaz Rachman Olamali. And moreover, what about the Rabbanan, who hold you can't take Peya after you've made it into a dough? What are they going to do with the word Tazov? So explain to Gemara, Mibari Leitz needed Lichadatanya for the following Brisa. A Mafgir Karmo, person is Mafgir's Karim. And Vishkim the next morning, the Boki wakes up in the morning, Ubata, and he starts working on it. He starts taking off all the grapes, even though it was Hefker. He's chai befrat uvolos b'shicha. He's chai to pay any grapes that might drop, or he forgets. He's chai to pay. Who be pay? He's chai and pay as well. Who patim in a meiser? He's patim in a meiser, because the halacha is that hefker is patim in a meiser. So when it comes to pay, even though it's hefker, now I reclaim it in the morning, I'm patim from meiser, because as long as there's a moment in time that it was hefker, there's no chiv for meiser, even though I reclaimed it. But pay, I'm chai to do the pay, because it's actually word pay tazov. That no, if I reacquire it, even though it was once hefker, I need to still pay peya. That's the limud we learn from Tazov. Either way, what we see from all of this, though, is that it's not so clear-cut that all these tanaim hold that is a general statement of shinu b'mkom ha'omed. It's possible each of them are just unique, that application. that Essen Zona is very unique because the Mizbeach is very sensitive. And the case of the Peah was unique because of the word Tazov. Each of the cases was unique, and therefore it's not so clear again that all of them hold in general that Shinoi b'mekomo omed. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Kirbi Shimon ben Elazar, are we paskin like him? And he, which one is he? He's the one who holds that the Gazan has the Yado al Helyona, he always has the upper hand. So if he enhances the stolen item, he has the option of keeping it, or he has the option of returning it. So mi Amar Shmuel, Halacha, does Shmuel really hold this way? V'hamar, Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel hold? Ein Shaman lo Leganav, v'lo Legazlan, el Nezikin. We only assess the value of the object with regards to Nezikin, but not with regards to stolen objects. What does this mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi around 10 lines up says, Ein Shaman. The Perek Rishon, we learned in the first Perek of Baba Kama here, Gave Bailim Metaplim Benevela. So the Baal, it's a Mazik, my animal killed your animal, so the owner of the Nizak, the owner of the dead animal has to be Metapl. He's the one who has to slap the Nevela home and sell it. So Amar Shmuel says on that, the Lenezikin who the shaman as a nevela, the Nizak. So for the regarding Nezikin, we evaluate how much this dead animal is worth, and we take that into account as payment for the Nizak. Mazik lo Nizak. And on top of the nevela, whatever the difference is, the Mazik has to pay the difference to replenish the loss of the Nizak. But that's only by Nezikin. But then Rashi says, Aval Ganav Vigazlin Shinat Lubahima Omesa, animal who's stolen from a ganav stolen animal, then the animal died. Okach shor, you weakened it. Ain shaman es nevela. We don't assess what the nevela is worth anymore. El shalahem te, the ganav now owns this dead animal. Vehem yishalmu behem amalyan, I need to pay back the full amount. So alma, we see from here that shino is kona. When there's a shino, when I steal an animal, the animal dies, or it weakens, or something changes, I keep the animal, and I need to pay back a new animal to the nigzal, the nignav. Fine, that's the halach. So we see, according to this, that Shmuel holds that Shinoi is Kona. If there's a change, that the Ganav is Kona the animal. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that, no. If there's a Shinoi, the Gazlan is not Kona, and he has to return the animal still. We only said he gets to keep the enhanced animal because of Takana Shashavim. If it had not been for Takana Shashavim, he would have to return the animal. So there's a steer whether, again, Shmuel holds Shinoi is Kona or Shinoi is not Kona. So then the Gemara explains to Bishma, this all makes sense, L'Rava, this makes sense according to Rava, Damar, Ki Kamar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Hasam, B'Hachasha, D'Hadar, Lokasha. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar only holds that you need to return the item when it gets weakened because it could always get stronger again. That's not called a Shinoi, that's why you have to return the animal. So really, a Shinoi is Kona, but that's not a Shinoi when the animal gets weak. Ki Kamar, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Shinoi b'mkoma omed, B'Hachasha, D'Hadar. That's what he says. He paskin that we hold like Rabbi Shimon that you have to return the animal because it's weaker and it returns back. And Nechi Kamar Shmuel Hasman, Shmuel says the halacha elsewhere that Ein Shaman Lo Laganav Lo Lagazan El Nezikin Bachasha Dilohadar. When he says you don't have to return the animal, when the Ganav keeps it, that's when there's a weakening that cannot be replaced, that cannot be returned. That's a real Shinoi. So that all makes sense according to Rav and Rav's world. Rav holds again that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is referring to a case of a hachasha dehadar, that a weakening that can be returned back to the initial item. That's not really called a shinoi. That's why he says you have to return the animal because no shinoi took place. But el labai, but according to Abai who held above the kamar, the amar ki kamar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he was talking about a case of hachasha dehadar kamar, where Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds even in a hachasha. Even in a situation where the animal weakened that cannot be returned, even then, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds you have to return the item. Because he holds in general that Shinoi is not Kona. So then, Ma'ikla Meimar, there's a stira. Abai holds in one case. Abai's understanding is that Shmuel in one case holds that Shinoi is Kona, and the Ganav keeps it. And the other case, Shinoi is not Kona, and the Ganav doesn't keep it. So what's he going to explain? So Baye Masni Hachi, Baye learns differently. He learns Amar of Yehud, Amar Shmuel, Amru, they say Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Velei Lo Sfirlei. He says that other people paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but Shmuel personally holds not that way because he holds that Shinoi is Kona, And that's what he was saying. Not that he paskin that way, but he was quoting from others who do paskin that way. So in the end of the day, Shmuel paskins, Shinoi is considered Kona. Gemara now says, Tzadi Dalam Beis, two lines down, Amar Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Davar Torah, Gzela Hanishtanes Chazeres Be'ein. A Gzela has transformed, returned, you have to return back that item, even though it's been a change, meaning Shinoi Eino Kona, we don't acknowledge the Shinoi as being changed, as being owned, and you return the object no matter what state it's in. How do we know? What's the Davar Torah? The Pasuk says, Shenemar V'heishiv Etz Gzela, Asher Gazal, you steal the object that you stole, Mikol Makom, no matter where it is, no matter what state it's in, you return that actual object. Ah, Vim Tomer Mishnah Seinu, but doesn't our Mishnah say that the Gazal gets to keep it if it changed, and he pays back money, so Shinoi is Kona? No, don't be bothered, because our Mishnah is talking about a case, Mishum Takanas HaShavim, because they wanted people, if it went through a change, people are not going to want to return all the effort and money they invested. So in order to help people do tshuva, we said, okay, fine, you could keep the item and pay back money. But that's only a din d'rabanan. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That davar Torah, that Shinoi is not koner? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say, halacha k'stam Mishnah? And the stam Mishnah says, v'tanan, the Mishnah tells us, lo hispik litno lo achetav apater. I need to give reishis gaze. The first shearings of the season I need to give to the kohen. And let's say I didn't get around to do it and I end up dying them before I gave it to the kohen, I'm pater from giving. So the stam Mishnah says that Shinoi is kohen. If I put a change, I dyed the wool, I made it blue, I made it black, then I'm pater from paying. So Shinoi is kohen. That's a Mishnah. So Rabbi Yochanan always passes like a stam Mishnah. So how can we say above that Rabbi Yochanan holds a davar Torah that Shinoi is not kohen, and the Mishnah Reisha Gaze says it is kohen? Amar lehu hahu midrabanan. So one of the Rabbanan said, the Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, Rabbi Yaakov was his name, Lididi, he said to me, Mefarshali Minei, the Rabbi Yochanan, he explained Rabbi Yochanan, Kigon Shegazel Eitzim Meshupin. He stole pieces of lumber that were already sanded, Vasan Kalim, he made them into Kalim, Dehavale Shinoi Hachozer Libriyasa. It's something that can always revert back to its initial form. And therefore what? Which one is he explaining now? Aha. So really, no, how does that answer the steerer though? I'm trying to explain that our Mishnah is that, you see the Rashi explains, Masisin Mokila Rabbi Yochanan Begozel Eitzim Meshupin, around five narrow lines down, Mishum Hachi Kama Rabbi Yochanan, for this reason Rabbi Yochanan explains, the time of Mishum Dakanasa Shavimhi, the Shinoi ki haig lav Shinoihu. That's not really a Shinoi. You put some piece of Lego together and you just simply undo it. It wasn't much of a change. That's why he says it's Dakanasa Shavim. But had it been a real case of Shinoi, where he really transformed the objects and changed them around, then he would say, we have to keep. But that's the only time where he says that type of Shinoi is not considered a Kona. But Shinoi that cannot be returned back to the initial form, then he holds Shinoi is Kona. But how does that go against the Braisa though? And doesn't he say above that the Heshu is a Gezeli if they return it, even after it's been changed? Okay, I see. The question wasn't on that. Okay, I see. This is a level. The Deraisa, Rabbi Yochanan holds that Shinoi is Kona, the Deraisa. No matter what type of change, even if it's a change that's reversible, that's Kona on the Deraisa level. Now, the Chum made a Takanas HaShavim. When there's a Shinoi, then they allowed him to keep it, to allow him to do tshuva better. But he said only certain types of change. A change that is irreversible, then we say he gets to keep it. But if it's a change if it's a change that is reversible, that you can change, that you can undo, so then he says you would have to return it. Now that doesn't make sense though. I said, you know, in general, Shinoi, I get to keep as a Gazlan. I get to keep. No, I'm sorry, I need to return. Sorry. Shinoi ain't no Kona. That's the point. Shinoi is not a Kona. I need to return the object, no matter what I did to it. But because of Takanas HaShavim, they said, okay, you could keep the object. They said you could only keep the object when it's something that is really irreversible. That's why I'm allowed to keep it. But if it's something that's reversible, so then they say return the object as is. But the question is how to answer the question by Reish HaGeiz, though. Reish HaGeiz clearly holds that Shinui is Kone. Because once I dye the shearings, the wool, I don't have to give it back anymore. You might have to say that maybe only by gzela, this is special gzera sakasa, v'heshiv is a gzela, asher gazal, that's when you have to return the object where shinui is not kone. And maybe in general he holds that shinui is kone. I think you have to say it even differently than what I said. Rabbi Yochanan agrees on when the shinui took place, a shinui that's not reversible, a shinui that's irreversible, then he says you're kone. Under the Raisha Allah, I'm kone that if it's irreversible. And that's the case of the Reish HaGeiz, where I dyed it. When he said before that you have to return the object as is, that's a reversible change. When you could undo it, that's when he holds you should return the object. Because there's no shinui kone in that case. Because it's not such a strong change. And the case of the Mishnah is a situation where it was reversible. Even where it's reversible, still you're allowed to keep the object midirabanan in order to help facilitate takanas shavim. Okay, Mara now says the two dots. Tanu rabanan. The Brisa says hagazlanim v'malvei ribis. People who are professional robbers. People who are lending on interest, which of course is the biggest of their Isa, Sheikh Zero, they want to return the money, they want to do tshuva. Ein makablin mehem, you can't accept the money from them. Uva makablin mehem, those who do accept the money from them, ein ruach chachamim noche manu. The chacham are not very pleased with such people to accept such money. Why? Shalom Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bimei Rabbi Nishes Mishnah Zu." This Mishnah was taught in the times of Rabbi, because the Sani, the Brisa tells us that Ma'isa be'Adam Echad. There's a story with one person. Shebikesh Lasos Tshuva. He wanted to do Tshuva, and Amalo Isha, his wife said to him, "Reika, you empty person. Imata Ose Tshuva. Afilu Avnei Eino Shelcha. If you want to do Tshuva, even your own belt is not going to be yours. You have nothing left. Everything you took is stolen. Everything you have is stolen." V'nimna, and because of that, he refused to do Tshuva. Lo Asa Tshuva. He didn't do Tshuva. But at that moment, Amru the Chachamim said, "Hagazlanim val mavi ribis shechziru." They wanted to do tshuva and return the money. Ein mekabel mehem. Don't accept it from them because it's going to discourage them from doing tshuva. Val mekabel mehem ein ruach chacham nocha mehem anu. And those who do accept, the chacham are not very pleased with. Meaning, chacham are saying they're hefker based and hefker. They're mochel on all the money. They want to do tshuva. Let them do tshuva and go on the right path. Even though normally, of course, a person has to ask mechila from the people they stole from, when people who have they stole so much money, it's almost impossible for them to do tshuva, Akash Baruch, the Chum said, let them do tshuva and not make them pay back any of the money. And Akash Baruch will take care of the rest. So Meisvei, the Gemara asks the question, Hiniach lehem avim mal sheribis. If the father dies and leaves behind money that he collected on interest, so now in the state has to deal with this money that was earned through an Isser, even though the children know it came about through ribis, ein chayavim lahachzir, they don't have to return the money back. So the Gemara is medayik. In hu delo, the children don't have to return the money, but the implication is ha avim chayav lahachzir, but the father does have to return the money. So we see that the malvi ribis do have to return the iser ribis. Gemara says no. Bidin hu davim nami ein chayav lahachzir. It makes sense that even the father doesn't have to return the money as well. So why is the Brisa speaking from the perspective of the children, which gives us a false impression of what's going to be in the father? Because the Sefer had to teach us a certain halacha, so he wanted to be consistent to speak from the perspective of the children, but not to make any diukim to the father. So what does the Sefer say? So the Sefer says, avim para, v'talis v'chaldavar mesuyim. If the father leaves behind a cow, a piece of a suit of some sort, or anything else that's a davar mesuyim, some object, not money, but an object, so then chayavim l'hachzir mipnei kavod avim. Then it makes sense, if they have a cow that their father stole walking around that said, this is Jim's cow, that's not going to be kavod for them to continue to hold on to Jim's cow. It's branded Jim's cow. So return that object because of the kavod avim. Only in that case do they have to return, the children have to return the object. So therefore, since we're speaking from the perspective of the children, the Gemara says, Tana Reisha Nami Bididhu. So since the Reisha, since rather the Sefer is referring to the perspective of the children, they taught the Reisha from the perspective of the children as well. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Now Bipnei Kavod Aviyim Chayavim Lahachzir. So the reason why the Brice had said, going on a little bit of a side point for a moment, the reason why the Gemara said, the Brice said you have to return the cow and the talus from the father because it's not covered for the father, but Ikre Khan, let's invoke the Pasuk, V'nasi B'amcha Lo Sa'ar, that there's an Isser to curse someone. So the Diyuk is, the Gemara makes a Diyuk, Bos Ma'isa Imcha, it's Isser to curse someone who's doing what you're doing, someone who's following the Halacha. But someone who's not following Halacha, even if it's the father, you don't have to treat them with respect. You could curse them. So why are we treating the father with respect if they themselves didn't respect themselves and respect the Torah? They weren't doing Nasi Ba'amcha. They weren't following the Halacha. So why is there an issue of Kavod Avicha? So Gemara explains, Kadamara Pinchas Bish'asa Tshuva. Hachanami Ba'asa Tshuva. Now talking about a situation where if they did Tshuva, so now they're Nasi Ba'amcha. Now they are within your nation. Don't curse them. Now they're within your nation, so that's why the children have to return the cow out of covet for the father who now has done tshuva. The Gemara asks, wait a second. If the father did tshuva, why is the cow still on the estate? Why is the talis still on the estate? If he really did tshuva, he should have returned the objects. He should have returned everything. So the Gemara explains, he wanted to do tshuva, and then he didn't have enough time to return everything he stole. And now the children have covered Aviyam in order to continue to respect their father, they return the rest of the objects that were stolen. Okay, Toshma the Gemara quotes another Brisa now. Hagazlanim v'malvi ribis alfa pishagavu machzirin. Even though they collected, even though the gazlan and the malvi ribis collected, you still return the money. So the Gemara wants to understand, my shagavu, what does it mean, gavu, ika? What do they collect? E gazo gazo vilo gazo lo gazo. If they stole, so then they stole. And if they didn't steal, so they didn't steal. What's the shaila here? Let's see. Right. It doesn't make sense to use the word gavu by a gazan. A gazan stole or he didn't steal it. Gavu is not relevant. You don't collect. If the gazlan stole, he stole. That's not called collecting. And if he didn't steal, then he's not a gazlan. So how do you read the braisa? Ella, ema ha-gazlanim. So the way you read it is, if the gazlanim, who's considered a gazlan, malvi ribis. So malvi ribis are considered a form of robbers. Ava pishagavu machzirin. So even though they collected the ribis, they still have to return the money. So amri machzirin vei mekavu mehen. They say you're supposed to return it, but you don't accept it. So the question is, how do we tell the Malvi Ribis to return the money? We just said above, we don't accept from them. So they said, no, we want them to return. They have to try to return it. But we said, no, thank you. It's fine. I appreciate your nice act, but keep the money. So that's what it means. Machzirin vein makabaman. So Ella, lama machzirin. So we're not going to accept, so why in the world are they returning the money? What's being accomplished here? Lates yidei shemayim. So what's going on here is, if they want to satisfy their obligations on a yidei shemayim level, so then they have to return the money. So I don't know how it really plays out, though, if it's not going to if they're not going to accept it, though. So I guess they have to try as hard as they can to return the money. Now, we discourage them from returning the money, and we discourage people from accepting the money, but if they really want to, they learn the halacha, they learn Baba Kama, the Aftali Dalam and Beis, and they want to be Yotze, their Chiv, then they should really try hard and to push that they return the money back. Mara says further, Tashma. Haroim, Hagabayim, Hamuchsin, Chuvasin, Kasha. Shepherds and tax collectors and Gabayim of the king's tax collectors as well. Their tshuva is very difficult for them to accomplish because part of these professions is a lot of stealing going on. Roim, the shepherds are taking the sheep into people's backyards where they're not supposed to. And tax collectors are taking more money than they're supposed to. It's very hard to do tshuva. You don't know who you took from, how much you took from people. Umachsin, Makirin, and they're supposed to return to those who they recognize, what they remember, they return. That's the best they could do. So Amri Machzirin, but how come they're returning here? This is something that's an impossibility. It's going to be discouraging them from doing tshuva if they have to do some level of returning. So Gemara says, same idea. No, Amri Machzirin, we say return the money, but we are not supposed to accept the money from them. Elo lama machzirin. So if we don't accept the money, why are they returning the money? Lotzei tzidei shemayim, because they want to do the best efforts in order to fulfill the all the obligations on a yishemayim level. Ihachi amai tshuva kasha. So why is it tshuva kasha then? Because once we're saying they don't have to return the money anymore, that means the tshuva is not hard. The oh, and moreover, aim a seifa. Look at the seifa. V'shein makir ni'asa b'hen tzarech tzibur. And for those who don't, who they don't recognize, they should be involved in community service, and that should be their way of paying back. Because somehow, by doing working for the shul, working for the community, somehow they end up doing some nice volunteer work for the people who they stole from, and this way they'll be able to pay back in some way, in some form, to people whom they stole from. So you see that there is a tshuva, there's a tshuva that's relevant for them. And what's the example of tzarchei tzibur? Amar Rav Chisda, baros shichin maros. They're supposed to attend to the waters, to the public waters, and give water, because everyone's going to come need water from the water fountains and the reservoirs and stuff. This way they'll be able to do tshuva. The Gemara says, no, ella lo kasha kan kodum takana kan lacha takana. Depends. There are different tkufas. Says Rashi, kodum takana should be mei rabbi nishesh mishazu de mechayv lamader. So, no, really what's going on here is that you're really supposed to return the money. But all those brides that said you're supposed to return the money, that's all prior to the takana of Rebbe. But once Rebbe came and experienced that situation with the wife making fun of her own husband, then he created the takana of not having to return everything. So that's when the brides says, ein machzirin, we don't return it. But it's not talking about machzirin lotzei tzidei shemayim. That's not the situation. We say machzirin prior to the takana. After the takana, we say no longer then is there a need for returning the money. So now the Gemara says, v'hashad amar Rav Nachman, v'shein, that's good, I know. Right. Hashad amar Rav Nachman, v'shein gzela kayemes, afil tema idividi lacha takana. So apparently Rav Nachman said, it's talking about a situation when the gzela wasn't available anymore. Then you could say they're both situated, both prices are talking about after the takana. Lokasha, it's not a problem. Going to Tabo Tadihe now. Kan b'gzela kayemes, kan b'shein gzela kayemes. Meaning, when the gzela is still intact, so then you have to return the object, even after the takana. When the gzela is no longer intact, that's when we say you don't have to return. There's nothing to return. What to return? So the Gemara says, how can you get that answer? V'hol avnei the gzela kayemesi? But didn't his wife say, even your own belt is not yours. That's a gzela kayemes. And that was the whole motivation for creating the takana. We're saying now that takana only applies to things that were not kayemes, that goes against the whole maisa. So Gemara now says, no, my avnate, what does it mean avnate? It's me avnate. She didn't mean the actual belt. The money that he used to buy the belt, that's what he means. That was gzela ena kayemes. So then the Gemara says, is it true v'chalhecha the gzela kayemes la'avid rabbanan takante? Is it really true whenever the gzela is still intact, they didn't make a takana, and they made the gazan return the item, v'harei meresh, that the famous case of the 2x4 that was used to build the house, the gzela kayemesi, it's still available. It's up. It's in the roof. It's in the ceiling. It's still kayemes. But tonight the Mishnah says al hamarish hagazel, a stolen beam shebano bebir that you put into a building sheyitol damav b'tei takanas hashofen. We say, you know what? Instead of destroying the entire building, just pay the money of the beam. But it's gzera kayemes. We should return, take out the building, give the actual item. Where it says no, shiny hasam. There is obviously a different case. The chayven diikup seida the bira shavi rabbanan kedilesa. Since it's going to destroy the whole building, it's going to be a tremendous loss. They viewed it as if it was considered no longer available. But at the end of the day, something that really is available and easily accessible, then you have to return the object. But if it's something that's not available, or it's available but very would cause a tremendous hefsin mamum, then they said because of takanas hashavim, the gazan is able to keep the item and pay back the money. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Good Kodesh.